Well, let's take our Bible today, if you would. We'll turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, and we'll pick up today in chapter number 3 as we're looking at the matter of truth, or the truth of the matter, as we're looking into the matter of the mystery of God in regards to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, of course, the writer of the letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we have covered some verses in this matter of this letter. Paul, again, reminding us of this mystery, and today we'll further develop what the mystery is and how this mystery operates in our day and time. A mystery, of course, is not something that's unknown, but unknown until it is understood or revealed. It's a secret containing truth. As you think about that, people say, well, I like to read a mystery novel. Well, within that novel, you're going to discover what the mystery is. And when we look at the Word of God, we think about a mystery being given, of course, and in the Word of God, in and through the Word of God, we have the answer to whatever that is to be developed. And what Paul the Apostle is going to develop for us, is, of course, in this mystery, is who we are in Christ. We've seen some of the past, as we've seen in chapter 1 and 2, how we lived prior to our salvation, who we were in the past. We've seen how that Christ has in his mercy and love redeemed us and quickened us together in chapter 2. So we see in this mystery, you and I, the church of today, the body of Christ. We'll look at this in just a moment as well. So within the context of Scripture, the mystery has been made known to us. And it's very important, this mystery that he's speaking about, how that you and I are part of the body of Christ as the church. This was not seen in the Old Testament. There's nothing in the Old Testament that alludes to the fact of the church being included in this body. There are things in the Old Testament, I'll share with you, that some places there I mentioned last time in Genesis chapter 12, where God called out Abraham, and he said in verse 3, I'll bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. And in that context, God is talking about anyone other than, of course, Abraham was the first to come out to be the father of the nation of Israel. So anyone other than a Jew, we would say, that would bless Abraham or bless the Jews would be inclusive in God's blessing. But what we're looking at today in this mystery is more than just being inclusive in the blessings of the nation of Israel. I want you to understand that. Because many think that the church of our day has replaced Israel, and we have not. God had a plan for Israel through Abraham. He's going to give him a land. He's going to give him seed. He's going to give him blessing. He furthered that covenant, if you would, through the Mosaic covenant. If they would keep the law, God would do thus and so. And then through what we call the Davidic covenant, where David was the king of Israel, God said, I'm going to make a descendant of yours to sit on your throne forever, and that is in reference to Christ. Those covenants were made to Israel. Of course, you and I will benefit as a church when Christ returns to the earth. You and I will be on the earth for 1,000 years in that literal kingdom. But that is under the blessing of Israel. So when we look in the Old Testament, the church is not mentioned. The church of today, the body of Christ, has not replaced Israel, hasn't taken up those covenants that God made with Israel. As a matter of fact, the body of Christ is a new identity. They didn't see this in the Old Testament. Again, there were things that alluded to the Gentiles being included. I'll read another scripture, just as I said with Genesis 3, but in Isaiah chapter 42, and you may want to jot this verse down, in verse number 7 and 8 it says, of course, verse 5 says, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. So he's talking about Christ coming to be a light to the Gentiles. In verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoner from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's us. We've been in darkness. We've been in prison. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So he's going to open the eyes of the blind, the Lord is. He's going to let the light shine to the Gentiles. That's who we are. And so in this, you see that God has us included in his plan. But this mystery, again, that he's speaking of in Ephesians is completely different from the covenants with Israel or anything God has with Israel. As a matter of fact, what he's going to do now is he's going to include us not in Israel's covenants, but he's going to take the Jews that believe in Jesus Christ, he's going to take the Gentiles who believe and are converted, and he's going to put both groups of people inclusive in one body. That's important to remember. You and I are in the body of Christ. Again, back in the Old Testament, the Jew had the tabernacle. He had the place of worship. The Gentile could come and be proselyted into the Jewish religion, and he could worship with the Jew as a body of people. But he's still a Gentile. He had a court. He could only go so far. Jews could go further. Why? They're closer to God. So he's excluded. So that was the body of people gathered as Jews and Gentiles. Matter of fact, the beginning of the church age, they still had this problem. And I'm kind of reiterating, bringing us back up to where we are. You remember when the church was started on the day of Pentecost, the Jews received the gospel of Jesus Christ through the preaching of Peter. As a matter of fact, Christ said in Acts 1:5, it had not happened, this body of Christ, as of yet, but it was going to happen. It was going to be future. It's going to be something that's seen in the future. And I'll read that verse in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 5. He says this, the Lord Jesus does. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In other words, the Holy Spirit. Now, he had been in the Old Testament. He had not indwelt the believer. Let me back up with that. He would come upon a person for a particular service, but he did not indwell that person continually. David, man after God's own heart, the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding. Of course, the Holy Spirit is away from David. David is sinning against God. The Holy Spirit's back, convicted David. But today, Jesus said, future tense, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to baptize. He's going to indwell the believer. And that indwelling and baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to take the believer in the age of grace and put that believer into a body, not of people, but Christ. You and I have been put into Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that, because that's who we are. And this mystery of not seeing that in the Old Testament, this mystery now that Paul has revealed, and by the way, the Lord showed the Apostle Paul, remember, he was the Pharisee who was arresting the Christians, and God showed him through the Damascus Road experience that the Christians were his people. Paul is going to arrest these people, and now he finds out who the Lord Jesus is, and he's made an apostle, or he sent one to the Gentiles, and he has spent the rest of his life and even given his life for this mystery that's been revealed to him. Matter of fact, it's kind of coincides. The Apostle Paul, if you look in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved. Well, God is working. And by the way, God always works on both ends. Remember, if he's working on your end and you're praying about something, he's working on the other end as well. He always does. In Acts chapter 10, we find that Peter, he's the one who preached to the Jews, and the Jews were added to the church. The church has already started. It's established. When the Holy Spirit came, he's preaching to the Jews, and they're getting saved. But now he is at Simon the Tanner's home, and he has this vision in Acts chapter 10. He sees a sheet come down from heaven with all types of food in this sheet. Remember, the Jew had this ceremonial law, the regulations of Moses, not to eat certain things. It's God's law, but of course Moses had given it. And so God says to Peter, arise and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. You don't say not so to the Lord. If God's calling you, you say, yes, sir. You say, I hear you. You don't say not so. And this was done three times, and Peter sees it. And God said, don't you call unclean what I call clean. See, Peter said, I've never put anything unclean in my mouth. That's what he's looking at, this law. And God said, now he's showing you through this unclean dietary practice, it's not about the law anymore. And at the same time, he's working on the Cornelius, who is a Gentile, and Cornelius is praying while Peter's praying, and see how God's working on both ends. And then the next thing you know, Cornelius sends his servants to get Peter and have Peter come to his home, and Peter goes, and Peter now, he is with the Gentiles. He's the one who preached to the Jews, and they're saved, and now Peter goes to the Gentiles. Apostle Paul is called the apostle to the Gentiles, but Peter goes to Cornelius' home, and Cornelius receives the gospel, and he's added to the church, and Peter sees this, and furthermore, in chapter 11, he goes back and returns to Jerusalem, Peter does, and he tells the church that was started there, these Jews, God has a plan for the Gentiles. I'm paraphrasing it, but this was what Peter said in chapter 11 and verse 15. He saw it with his own eyes. They're God's people. When? When did he see it? When the Holy Spirit came on the ones who were saved. So this mystery that we see it is a truth now that's being revealed. And the Apostle Paul, no greater man than to be the one to reveal it, one who hated the Gentiles as much as he did, the one who wanted to arrest the believers and put them in jail and have them put to death, now he's the one that's preaching to the Gentiles. And because of his desire now that God has put in his heart, isn't it amazing how that God can work in a person's heart and the things or the people that you despise the most, now you love the most. That's the way the Spirit of God does. As the old song used to go, makes me love everybody. Give me that old-time religion. You know it? You remember that one? It's the old-time religion. The old-time religion makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Why? Once you see how vile you were, and he's already shown us in chapter 1 and 2, then we see how we've been included in Christ. How can we not love other people? The question is not how can we not love other people. The question is, how can God love us? How can God love us? A sinner that in our sin, his sinless son took our sin upon himself and he died for us. That's the grace of God. And now this mystery, for this mystery again, going into chapter 3 now, Paul is a prisoner. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And he's not saying it like he feels like he's better than anybody else. He's stating a truth. He's stating a fact. As I said, this matter of a mystery is something that's not known. It's a hidden truth that has deep meaning to it. So he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Not only is he a prisoner of Christ because he was arrested by the Holy Spirit on the road to Damascus, he's a prisoner right now under the authority of the Romans for what? For what he believes by including the Jews and Gentiles into the body of Christ. The Jews, they were going to kill him, and yet he was arrested and now he's in jail. If you've heard of this dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, would how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Now, Paul's telling us, telling all who read, that this mystery that I'm speaking of this morning was given by revelation. In other words, he did not get it from Peter. Peter didn't say, this is how God's working now. He's working in the Gentiles. But Paul got this from the Apostle Paul got this from the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, as he was struck down on the road to Damascus, his question was, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And of course, he followed the instructions to go, and he was baptized by Ananias. And then, of course, he goes into Arabia, he tells us in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And he's there being taught by the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's the revelation he got. He didn't read that in the Old Testament. He received that from the Lord. So how that by revelation, he, referring to the Lord, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. That could be the mystery he'd already spoken of in chapter 1, being written afore, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So he's saying this revelation of the mystery now, at that very moment in time, is being given by the Holy Spirit to the apostles and then the prophets. There were those who were preaching the word of truth. He didn't say the prophets first, and then the apostles, had he said that, that would have been inclusive of the Old Testament. Those prophets in the Old Testament, they knew nothing at all about the church. They knew that Messiah would come. They knew that Messiah would be would suffer and die, as Isaiah wrote in chapter 53. They saw the suffering of the Messiah, but they didn't see the Gentiles being put into the body of Christ. But now, he said, this present tense at that point in time, now, he says, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See, it's the working of the Spirit now that's revealing these things. Christ said, when I go, I'll send him, referring to the Holy Spirit, and he will come and teach you and guide you in all truth. So now the Holy Spirit is imparting this truth. As Paul is preaching the truth, the Holy Spirit is touching the hearts and saying, this is true. Christ is the one who died. He's the one who took your sin. He's the one who came to redeem you. And by receiving this, for by grace are you saved through faith, by receiving this, then you're put into this one body. And this is where it's going now in verse number 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So you and I have been placed into the body of Christ. That's not seen in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, Christ in the Old Testament is seen as the Messiah. Christ means anointed one. He's the one who was to come and to redeem Israel. But he came unto his own, John said in chapter 1 and verse 12, but his own received him not. They said, we're not going to have anything to do with this man. He's an illegitimate son. Mary's his mother. Joseph's his father. They weren't married at the time. And now he says he's the son of God. He came to this, but they said, we'll have nothing to do with him. And to those who would, now he has included us. Christ was not seen again, his body in the Old Testament, but now he's the head of the body. So think with me. Christ is this body that's being put together, is still being put together. Members of the body are being added daily, we could say, and hourly. as we talk about salvation, where people come into this body. I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians, if you would, just a verse there, in line with this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. As we think about Christ being the head of the body, and you and I being added to this body, it says in verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now, we're talking about born-again believers. Nobody is born a believer. They're born again. We were born in sin. We were born in the with the nature of Adam. And now we're born again. And in this birth that he's speaking of, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So now we see how the Holy Spirit, in your day, in this day of our lives, in the day from the Apostle Paul to this time, we see how this Holy Spirit now is working, drawing and bringing men to Christ. I say men, you understand a generic term, bringing people to Christ in salvation. And once a person is born, then the Spirit of God places us into the body of Christ. He's the head. He speaks of this again. The Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians speaks of this same being of how the body functions and how these things are done. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27, he said, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints," talking about being placed in the body, "to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles," that's us, "which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Think about it. You and I have been put into this body, and at the same time, Christ is put into us. He's the head of the body. You and I make up the body. He says, back in 1 Corinthians 12, can the hand say that it's any better than the foot? Can the eye, I'm paraphrasing, can the eye say that it's any better than the ear? See, it takes all parts of the body for the body to function properly. And we're added to this body. And he's the head. So how would it be? Really, it's kind of silly, but what if for some reason your hand just over here doing all this, and you're trying to keep it down, and it's still just, and it's just going. It's going. What part of us, I should say, controls everything that we do? The head. Of course, the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We know the heart is a muscle that's working to keep the body going, but it's the head. So it's not the heart, even in scripture where it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. No, he's talking about that in-depth, innermost person, the heart of a person. What do you mean by that? It's kind of like when you're doing something, you put your heart into it, right? You want to get something done, you're going to put your heart into it. It's not this muscle here. It may start beating a little harder if you're really working at it, but the heart that you're putting into it is that who you are. Christ is the head of the church. How would it be if Christ has the church walking in this direction, and he does? He knows where we're going. Right now, he's using the church. He's using his hand. He's using his arm. He's using his legs. He's using his feet. The church is to go into all the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to use our mouth. We're to use our eyes. We're to use everything that he has given us, and we're to do that to the glory of the Lord. So how would it be if God wants us and Christ has us moving in a certain direction, and the Spirit is within us motivating and empowering us to do that, and yet we just decide we're going to do this? Disharmony. How can we do? How can we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to stay plugged in. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. This mystery that has caused him now to be incarcerated, he's been put into jail. This same mystery is being revealed by the Apostle Paul. And now we find that he is a minister of this in verse 7. For whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. This mystery of what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery that you and I are part of the body of the Lord. This mystery has been made known not only to the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit, but God has made this same mystery known to us today, right here. There's no reason why we can't accept that. See, again, a mystery is something that's been initiated, kind of like, you know, we pick up a novel again. What's this about? Well, someone gets shot. Well, by the end of it, you'll find out who the shooter was and who the one was that got shot. Well, this mystery is this. Christ is working today in his body. Christ was using the Apostle Paul to minister. Is Paul with us anymore? No. But who? This body is still working. So God works through people. He was working through the apostles, through the prophets. And of course, we'll find later in chapter 4, he gives certain gifts. The Holy Spirit has gifted you. Some people are great orators. They're great speakers. They can engage with most anybody about anything. And how can that be useful for the work of the Lord? Well, you take this mystery that we know. We have the inside to the mystery, insight. We've got an inside job to it. We know the head. We know the spirit. And we go out into a world where people are completely ignorant of that. What do you mean a body of Christ? Well, we were gathered just a little while earlier today. We were gathered as the body of Christ. Now we're going to be dispersed as the body of Christ. And we're going into a world who has no insight to the mystery of who Christ is. And a matter of fact, they're walking around in darkness, as Paul said that we were. They're walking in darkness, headed toward eternity somewhere. Somewhere. They can say, I don't believe that. I believe you come back again. I heard and said to say, Willie Nelson, the great singer, Willie Nelson. I heard him giving a testimony years ago. I hope he's changed his heart since then. He said, I think you keep coming back till you finally get it right. Well, I'll tell you what, you'll never get it right. I don't care if you're reincarnated 10,000 times, 10,000. You will never get it right. There's only one who got it right, and that's Jesus Christ. And he got it right, folks. And if you put your faith and trust in what he did, then you become part of the body. And there are those, as I said, they're walking around in darkness today. They're trying to get it right. They tried this, it didn't work. They tried this and didn't work. And you're trying to tell them about Christ. And they said, I don't understand that. That's a mystery. Well, that's not quite a mystery compared to a lot of things that you've tried to do. But this is what Paul, he's arrested for it. And again, that doesn't mean that you and I would be accepted in what we say. But God doesn't, and I'll say this, God doesn't reward us on what we do. In other words, one day you and I are going to be rewarded as stewards for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to reward us on how the outcome was. He's going to reward us on how faithful we were to serve him. In other words, we may tell somebody about the Lord. They may cuss. They may spit on us. They may hit us. But that's not what we're rewarded for. For whether we warn them to the Lord is how well we represented the Lord. So we want to be faithful. Paul was a minister, he said in verse number 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, he says in verse number 8, who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given. Think about it just a moment. Paul classified himself as the least of the least. The bottom of the... He says, I'm the bottom of the bucket. I thought you were a Pharisee and taught by Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the He was the top-notch teacher of that day. And at one point, Paul in his letters says that. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee, of Pharisees. He was the upper crust. But now in the body of Christ, he sees all of that. And he says that later in Ephesians. He said, it's all dung. It's all waste. All of the things that I did prior to operating in this body of Christ was a total waste. Not to say that all of life is waste, but hang on just a moment. There's nothing that we do in this life, physical life, spiritual life, apart from Christ and being saved. You and I are spiritual people, but we have to have a rebirth, be born again. Our spirit's dead, but there's nothing in this life that we'll take with us. No monetary things, no physical things. The only thing we're going to take with us are those things that we've laid up in heaven. That's what the Lord said. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on this earth where rust and corruption and all of this, but in heaven. So we see this. He's working and he sees himself now as the least of all saints, as this grace is given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, that's, we're thinking again in this body, the unsearchable riches of Christ. What can we not do for the Lord? There's nothing that we can't not do. We can do great things. Don't let anyone fool you, especially Satan. He would like for you to think that you can't speak. Nobody cares what you have to say. You're a failure. No, you're not. Jesus died for you. He shed his precious blood for you. He loves you. He wants you to see that. He wants you to know your worth. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I mean, it's not even able, you're not able to declare the things of God that we'll see and be a part of throughout all eternity. And in verse number 9 it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See, Paul is arrested because he's including Gentiles and Jews, and he's working to have the Jews' eyes open to say, you're no different than the Gentiles. We're all one. There's not a Jew heaven, a Gentile heaven. There's one heaven. It's not a black heaven, a white heaven, a red heaven, a yellow heaven. We're all one in Christ. One blood, one people, one Lord, one Savior, one baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. He comes in and he indwells the believer and he places us now into this and he wants us to see the fellowship of the mystery that we can come together. I'm going to say something that, talking about history, I've thought about it as we look at this portion of Scripture. You remember the Abraham Lincoln, great president. I don't know how great of a president, but I'm just saying. Think about the men of God who founded this nation and how God worked through those men. One of the statements, and I may not quote it exactly, but Lincoln said that God created all men equal. Think about that just a minute. Did he not create all men equal? We were all lost. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're created equal. Now, in that, all men can be saved. There's not any person who cannot be saved apart from coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and giving their heart to Christ and receiving the free gift of eternal life. So all men are created equal. All men are lost. All men need to be saved. When this person is saved, he can't look at another person or group of people and say, they don't deserve it. They're not worth being saved. We were all lost. Every one of us. And when we come to Christ, all barriers are broken. We're one in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may still have different cultures. We may dress different. But we're one in Christ. And wherever we go, we'll see that. And this is what the Apostle Paul says, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Excuse me just a minute. What is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ? Think with me. From the beginning of the world, this was God's plan. You and I, being born again for eternity. That was His plan from the beginning. How do you say that? Well, in the book of Revelation, it refers to Christ being the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. See, he saw in creating man that man would fall. He saw that in the fall of man that he would need a perfect sacrifice to redeem him, to bring him back to himself. And all of this, God, it was hid. As I said earlier, I think last week we were talking about Enoch walked with God. Enoch didn't know anything about Israel. There was no Israel. He walked with God before Israel. Noah walked with God. He walked with God. I mean, God used him. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. There's Noah. There's Enoch. There are these prior to the nation of Israel. So God has this mystery hidden, and now it's revealed. It's revealed so that all the world, all of time can see it. This is what He said, to make see what is the fellowship of the mystery that hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now, He's talking present tense, in this day as well as His day, until the principalities and powers of heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, what I'm speaking of this morning, how that you and I are in the body of Christ, it's being revealed in heaven, the angels. You remember Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 12, he talks about the matter of salvation, gives an insight into it. I won't read it there today. You jot it down and go back. He's talking about salvation, how the angels, they see it, but they don't get it together. What do you mean by that? That's kind of paraphrasing. See, the angels were created by God. There are angels in the throne room today. Those angels saw how that Adam failed. Angels have seen how men have treated God. Angels have seen how they crucified the Son of God. And now God opens a way for these guilty sinners to be saved, and the angels are like, all principalities and powers, God has demonstrated this grace, He said, and the power to the intent in verse 10, that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. It's the church, see? It's not Israel today that's showing the grace of God. It's the church. It's you and I. Christ in us, the hope of glory, that's showing the world how much God loves mankind. It's the church. According to the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him, wherefore I desire that ye faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, Paul has been arrested for your, if we had been living in that day and time. And by the way, for what he preserved through his written word and by the Spirit of God, he was arrested for us. For making it known to the world that we were included in God's plan. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? When you think about who we are in Christ, and you think about this matter of the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Think with me this morning. The people of God for years in the Old Testament, they didn't have access to God every moment of every day. Oh, they could see the Shekinah glory of God in the cloud in the day when it was hot in the desert. They could see the Shekinah glory of God at night in the flame, cold in the desert. Now, God's got the heater on just for His people. They could see that. But the access was only available, as I said before, through the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. Today, you and I, at this very moment, right now, we have access into heaven, to the very throne room of God. God hears and answers prayer. You say, "Preacher, I've been praying about this for years. Don't give up." It's in God's time when He'll answer it. It may not be ready. He may not be ready for that to be done as of yet. Don't you give up. You keep praying. He's listening, and your access. We're to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy from the Lord. Let's stand together today as we think about who we are in Christ. What a blessing, what a privilege it is to be a child of God today. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but God does. He knows every heart. He knows every thought here today. And whatever it is that you need, He's able to supply. He's going to take care of His children. He wants you to bring that need before Him. You say, "I've asked before." Well, keep on. Keep on. Don't give up. He's here for you. If you're not saved, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. He died for your sins. Repent of your sins. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whatever the need is, God is here today. He's here for you. In this hour and this time is for you. You come as we sing this morning. Brother Jim, what song today, please? Sir.